Taking a look at Wisconsin sports now on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here with WPR sports reporter Megan Hart, back to share all the news she's been following and covering in Wisconsin sports. And we'll have to talk about some national sports a little bit too, because after all, the championship games were over in basketball for both men and women were over the weekend. Baylor last night. So we'll talk about those, but we can also talk about the Brewers. We certainly want to talk about the Brewers. Maybe take a look at coaching changes for college basketball teams. Highlight a national champ in Badger women's swimming. And we'll also touch on, the final results of the tournament. Love to hear from you on any of those topics or other sports topics as well. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. What are you thinking about how the Brewers are doing so far? What do you think about the basketball coaching changes at the college level here in Wisconsin, one at UW-Madison and with the women's team, and one in Marquette with the men's team? Anyway, join in. The number to call. Oh, how's your bracket? How was your bracket? I'm going to ask Megan how her bracket went. I can talk about mine, too. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. Megan, welcome back.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, how did your bracket look?
Oh, I was afraid you were going to ask that. It did not look good. I think that, having watched so much Big Ten basketball, I had a bit of a Big Ten bias, which obviously did not pay off in the long run. I had picked Illinois to win, and I should say my dad picked Baylor, so he ended up winning our family bracket. But, it wasn't pretty.
Daughter Emily was in one of these national competitions with millions of brackets sent in, and she jumped a million spots when she had UCLA beating Michigan.
So, oh, wow. Good for her.
She actually finished up there pretty high. I had Baylor losing to the University of Wisconsin. So you know how my bracket.
I got that one right.
You know how my bracket turned out. Oh, my goodness me. Well, some good news about Phoebe Bacon from Badger Swimming and Diving. She's a national champ.
Yeah, just kind of, it was so nice to hear the end of your last segment and to have so much great Badgers women's sports news to talk about. But yeah, she's just incredible as a freshman to win the 200-meter backstroke at the NCAA championships and finished third in the 100-meter backstroke. And I think that we will certainly be talking about her as we get closer to the Olympic trials as well. And that 200-meter backstroke is an event that Vita Nelson won last year for the Badgers. And I know she's in contention for the Olympics as well. She has since graduated, but a lot of great recent finishes in backstroke for Badgers women.
Mark in Waterford has a question or comment. Mark, let's go to you. Thanks for calling.
Hi, guys. Thanks very much for having me on. I'm one of many boxing coaches in the Wisconsin area, and we've participated at local and national level. One of the things that we're driving for, and it's making an emergence, of course, for a while in college, is to try to bring boxing back as a club sport or even a high school sponsored sport at the high school level. What do you guys think is the roadblocks we'd be running up against trying to get that back in place like it used to be back in the 50s and 60s?
Yeah. And I just would say back in those days, the University of Wisconsin were national champions pretty often in boxing. We had some great boxing teams until one of the players died while boxing. And that would have been about 1961 or so. And then it went away. But Megan, a comment?
I think that many people know that boxing can be such a great workout and a stress reliever as kind of a hobby. But I think, your previous guest mentioned if you don't see it then it's hard to kind of envision it for yourself. So I imagine that's, you know, part of the challenge is just getting started in the first place and making people realize that, that there are opportunities out there, because it's certainly not something you hear about all the time.
Yeah. And I have no idea if it's, you know, with any sport, I think it takes people who are really committed and willing to work hard and make some noise to make those kinds of things happen. Yeah. Mark, thanks. Pretty much, well, I do appreciate your call for sure. A listener couldn't stay online but wanted to ask about women playing baseball. Why can they only play softball in high school, for example? And my next door neighbor, as a matter of fact, is in grade school, played. She was a catcher for her baseball team, which was all boys except for her. And she was in Madison, the all-star catcher. But then when she got to high school, she wasn't allowed. She's played softball in high school. Thought on that?
Well, that's interesting. You know, Wisconsin has about as rich of a women's baseball history as you can get. But that's an interesting question and something that, you know, I will write down and have to look into, see what I find out.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Thanks for bringing that up. Appreciate it very much. Well, you know, it's back to national titles. What about the women's Badger women's hockey? Had quite the final game. I watched every second of it.
It was very, very nerve-wracking. You know, it was such a sort of storybook season in a way, because they had won the national championship in 2019. They were, I think, going to be the second seeds in the tournament last year, but then that was canceled due to the pandemic, so they didn't get a chance to defend it. And then they came back. They were seeded second this year behind Northeastern, who they ended up beating in that final game. But to win it in overtime and to have Daryl Watts score that game-winning goal in overtime, who she transferred to Wisconsin from Boston College after winning the Patty Kazmaier Award, which is like the Heisman Trophy of women's hockey. And she transferred because she said that she had actually gone to, I think Minnesota was hosting the Final Four that year, that she won the Patty Kaz, and she had traveled to the Frozen Four to accept the award, but it was a very bittersweet experience because her team wasn't there. Her team didn't make it that far in the tournament, and she knew what was really more important to her than individual accolades was winning a national championship. And so she transferred to Wisconsin. Her season got cut short that first year because of the pandemic. This year, they go all the way to the final, and she scores the game-winning goal in overtime, and it was just a really cool thing to witness. And also, you know, a very good game that was scoreless for 2.5 periods. It was a really competitive match.
Yeah, and man, is she good. Oh, my goodness. The winning goal that she scored, that she had actually planned to carom it off the other team player into the net.
Yeah, it makes you think, you know, it makes you wonder, as somebody, I obviously really enjoy sports, and I was never hugely talented at sports, and it makes you think that some people just see the world differently or more slowly or something like that, because it's so hard to imagine being able to make that call and take that shot with thinking that there's a chance that it could go in.
Well, and just one, my men's hockey, Cole Caulfield, big news for him, Hobie Baker finalist, and signed with the Canadiens.
Yeah, he was picked a couple years ago by the Canadiens, and so he has signed a contract, and he's getting ready to start his professional hockey career after an amazing season, leading the country in goals by more than 10. What a great year.
Well, we have lots more to talk about with Megan Hart, and I hope you'll join in as we move along. We've got the Brewers. I want to talk about Aaron Rodgers and Jeopardy. I've watched him on Jeopardy, and maybe Megan has too. We'll get your take on that and a whole lot more. The Brewers, too. So you can join in. The number is 1-800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Take a look at the news. Find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Net. And then we'll be back with Megan Hart. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network. Talking sports on the program right now, zeroing in a bit on Wisconsin sports with our guest, Megan Hart. She covers sports for Wisconsin Public Radio and joins in to share the latest of things that she's been covering and maybe that she hasn't been covering as well. We'll look forward to what you have to say. What do you think about the Brewers so far this season? What do you think about Aaron Rodgers' future in jeopardy? The TV show. I hope you'll join in. The number to call is 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us to ideas@wpr.org. ideas@wpr.org. Before we get to Aaron Rodgers, I want to mention Badgers volleyball, because man, has that been fun to watch them play. Several of their matches have been on the Big Ten Network. They really struggled with COVID, but they managed to stay on top and they're ranked number one.
Yeah, it wasn't always easy to catch their games because many of them were unfortunately canceled. And at one point in the season, they had to pause team activities for a couple weeks due to COVID-19. But then they also had some opponents canceled, but they still managed to make it through. And it was their first ever undefeated regular season. So that was pretty exciting. Their coach, Kelly Sheffield, has just had so much success with the team. He had his 200th win recently. They're getting ready to make their eighth straight NCAA tournament appearance as the top seed. So they actually get a bye through the first round, and they're going to end up playing the winner of either Bowling Green or Weber State next week when they get started in the tournament. And last year, they actually reached the finals and lost to Stanford. So, they've had a great season despite a lot of hardships.
Yeah, I watched that. I remember watching the Stanford game, and they just did not look like themselves. This year, to me, they're playing with more confidence, and I really think they've got a pretty good chance to come home with a national title this year.
Yeah, I agree. Before the start of the season, and of course, because of the pandemic, everything was different this year. So ordinarily, volleyball season would wrap up, you know, around the holidays, towards the end of the year. But this year it was pushed back. So they had a very long break between when they lost in that final and when they started playing matches again. But you know, all the players who spoke to the press said, you know, it really gives them something. That loss kind of gives them something to strive for. And starting the season as the number one ranked team in the country kind of puts a target on their back. So they know they're facing, you know, they're always going to get the best from their opponents, and they've been able to still make it through the season without losing any matches. And so, yeah, I think they've got a good chance.
They look like national champs to me. I don't know. We don't do brackets for that, but if we did, I would have them in first at the top. Hard to believe.
Probably
that,
a better pick, you know, than picking Wisconsin to beat Baylor.
Yes. Yes, for sure. Spring football practice underway already. The Badgers have got some changes. What do you think? How do you think the team looks?
Well, you know, I haven't seen too much. I know that that we've heard from some players and coaches. They started drills March 30th, and so they're going to have spring practices through the end of this month. You know, of course, there will be some changes. I think last year was Graham Mertz's first year as starting quarterback. He said that he spent a lot of time this summer looking at tape, working on his footwork in particular, and he's feeling very confident going into this season. He thinks that his receivers look really good. You know, last year, the pandemic was such a big part of the story of their season. I think that we will be able to get away from that a little bit this year. Actually, Mertz said that quite a few players have already been vaccinated, and they didn't do that through the team, but, you know, they had their own through their own networks were able to get vaccinated. And so, you know, we can hope that next year, not only will the team kind of be able to progress through the season more smoothly, but also we'll be able to have stands back in Camp Randall, which I think will help them out as well. But yeah, it's, it should be an interesting year, of course, with Graham Mertz taking over as officially taking over the starting job. Jack Cohn, who led the Badgers to the Rose Bowl a couple years ago, he has transferred to Notre Dame and he's competing for the starting quarterback job there. And Wisconsin and Notre Dame are scheduled to play this year, so that could turn into an interesting matchup early in the season.
Yeah, and what I was reading was it's Jack and a sophomore quarterback from Notre Dame that are in direct competition, and they haven't decided who's going to be the starter. But I wouldn't be at all surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see Jack Cohn at least getting playing time against the Badgers. And he's a good quarterback.
And he played with Jonathan Taylor, who, you know, as running back was just, you know, once in a generation college running back. And so I think he kind of stole the show in a lot of ways. Jack Cohn is a winner. So I think, yeah, he's got a good chance.
Well, speaking of winners, let's turn to Aaron Rodgers for a minute. He is now for this week and next week will be the host of Jeopardy. I watched him and he did a pretty good job and says he would love to be the full-time person for Jeopardy.
Yeah, I mean, as a Packers fan, it kind of makes you nervous, but that would be a crazy career move. I thought it was good too. I have to admit, I'm not a regular watcher, so it's hard for me to compare. I know that they've had some very impressive and continue to have some very impressive and exciting guest hosts lined up, but I thought he was good. I thought he handled that little dig during the final Jeopardy, you know, pretty well. Probably not something that he was expecting, but yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun to watch.
Well, what do you think about his possibilities? I mean, he says it's all a mystery, you know, where I'm going to be and what's going to happen. Maybe the background on that.
Well, you know, it's hard for me to say because he recently got engaged, or maybe not so recently. He recently announced that he was engaged. And so he's clearly kind of going through some major changes in his personal life. It's a bit difficult to predict, you know, how that will affect his football career. But he has certainly, you know, he hasn't said anything that makes me think that he's going to, you know, retire from football at the end of these 2 weeks and take over at Jeopardy.
Well, I don't, you know, general manager Brian Gutekunst decided to restructure a host of other key players' contracts, but not Aaron Rodgers, which would open the door for them to kind of get rid of Aaron Rodgers after next year.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we haven't seen a whole lot of Jordan Love, so it's tough to know, you know, exactly if he will be able to come in the way that Aaron Rodgers came in after Brett Favre left, but they do theoretically have a backup lined up for Rodgers. Rodgers' fiance is a Hollywood star, so, and he's from California, so I think, you know, there's some ties out there. So we'll have to see what happens, but, and of course we've seen, you know, what Tom Brady did this past year, leaving the team that he was so successful with and winning a Super Bowl with another team. So it's always a possibility.
Switch to the Brewers for just a minute. I was able to watch part of opening day, you know, it was during work hours. So I kind of had it on in the background and did zero in at the near the end of the game when they got to the relief pitchers for the Twins and were able to kind of pull a game out. But the season isn't starting, other than that game, the way they wanted, I don't think.
Yeah, you know, it's difficult to take too much away from four games, but I guess, you know, the thing that last year starting pitching was very good for the Brewers. Their defense was good, and they really struggled on offense. And unfortunately, that trend has continued so far. Tom Hadrecourt had a headline for his story for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, I think that was published today, that said the Brewers are making it too easy for opponents' starting pitchers to get in the groove early in games, which I thought, well, that's a long headline, but it really encapsulates exactly what's happening very well. Because yeah, they're not putting the pressure on starting pitcher. They haven't so far been able to put a lot of pressure on starting pitchers to drive up their pitch count and try to get into the bullpen. Their at-bats haven't looked great. Of course, there have been, you know, some bright spots. Like I said, last year, pitching was one of their strengths, and Corbin Burnes looked really good in his start. On opening day, Josh Hader looked amazing when he came out and struck out three, throwing 100 miles an hour. And Omar Narvaez, he had a three-run homer. He's hit well. So, I know, you know, maybe of course, last season, Christian Yelich had a down year. I think we're all expecting him and still expecting him to have a better year this year. And maybe that's somebody people would have picked to be the offensive bright spot for the Brewers instead of Omar Narvaez. But the take what you can get.
Yeah, he's not yet the star hitter of the season, that's for sure. Well, you had a chance to talk to a lot of fans, did you not? What was their experience like?
Yeah, people were very excited to be back for opening day. I talked to a bunch of people on their way into the stadium, and the Brewers do still have tickets available for some of their regular season games, but they did sell out opening day, and season ticket holders and people with multi-game packages got first dibs on those opening day tickets. So it was a lot of fun to talk to them because, you know, they're very dedicated fans who really missed being at the ballpark last year. So they were very much looking forward to the game. And everyone I spoke to said they were feeling pretty safe. I know that the Brewers submitted a 500-page document about their safety precautions to the Milwaukee Health Department. So spectators were feeling comfortable going into the stadium. Tailgating for now is banned from the parking lot, but there were a fair number of people, you know, carrying their beers as they walked toward the gate. And people were in a really good mood, and they got such a treat in that game.
Yeah, they did indeed. And, you know, there was more news about the Brewers over the weekend. They're making a pitch for the All-Star game, which was set to be in Atlanta.
I don't, I saw that the AP had a source saying it was going to Coors Field in Denver, but I haven't heard anything official, although I've been a little preoccupied this morning with the Barry Alvarez news. But Milwaukee makes a lot of sense. Right after the Major League Baseball announced they were moving the game, they decided, or Mayor Tom Barrett decided to send a letter to Major League Baseball's commissioner, kind of saying that he would support a move to Milwaukee because the game is going to honor Hank Aaron, who actually played most of his career in Wisconsin. And so it makes a lot of sense. Plus, American Family Field is a great stadium. I am from the Tampa Bay area, and I know that Tropicana Field, where the Rays play, was one of the stadiums that they immediately eliminated from contention for the All-Star game. But American Family Field would be, I think, a fantastic place to have it. And yesterday, some players and some team staff and Mayor Barrett did a media availability actually to talk about vaccinations. But during that, Brent Suter, who's a relief pitcher for the Brewers, he mentioned that, you know, last year Milwaukee missed out on the DNC, which was supposed to take place there, but then was mostly virtual. And so a big event like the All-Star game would be a really, a nice way to kind of make up for that missed opportunity.
Yeah. You mentioned Barry Alvarez in passing, and we did mention Barry when I had Mary Jo Kane on. But talk about, from your perspective, maybe talk a little bit about Barry Alvarez and his 17 years leading them.
I have to say, my parents went to Alabama. And they're huge college football fans. And so I grew up in a house that was very college football focused. And so, of course, I've always known Barry Alvarez because he's been at Wisconsin longer than I have been alive, actually, right? Just about the same amount of time. And so he has such a rich history here. It's really You know, he's really kind of earned his place in Wisconsin history, both as a coach and as an athletic director. He won the Big Ten three times and three Rose Bowls as a football coach. And his teams, I think, have won 16 national titles while he was athletic director. Of course, we've talked about how much success so many of those teams are having right now. So he really, you know, it's going to be very big shoes to fill for whoever takes over that job. And, you know, I imagine it's also kind of a challenging time for him to move on. But I think he's kind of navigated athletics through most of the pandemic. The football is optimistic that they'll be able to have full stands again in the fall, and that will maybe get them back on the right track financially. And so it seems, you know, like good timing for him with his grandson also getting ready to finish his football career at UW.
Yeah, he's taking that extra year, the grandson. So he will be playing in the fall for the Badgers.
Yeah, so maybe that'll be one. Maybe it will give Barry 1 year to really relax and just enjoy the games as a grandfather.
Well, let's hope so. He's earned it. But I will say that I do want to give a shout out to Donna Shalala and Pat Richter, because the university athletics were kind of in the doldrums, and there was not a lot of support, I didn't think, at the camp, at the chancellor level. And when Donna Shalala came in, she hired Pat Richter and sort of just flipped that narrative on its head. I was talking about that with a friend this weekend.
When Barry Alvarez was hired as football coach, he was coming into a team that had gone 9-36 the previous four seasons. And to not only have had a successful career as a football coach there, but to also have made such a difference that he stayed on as athletic director, you know, coming in to take over a team that's 9-36 isn't easy.
No, it's definitely not easy. Well, let's check in on the Bucks for a minute. What's going on with the Bucks?
Yeah, the Bucks. We're getting close to the end of basketball season. The Bucks have been doing well. They're a couple games out of first place in the East, and I know that this is something that we've talked about before, is just how dominant the Bucks were the last couple of years in the regular season. And I think having some real challengers in the East probably ultimately will be beneficial sort of for their playoff run this year. But they've got a couple games that they're hosting at the end of the month against Philadelphia, who's now in second place in the East, and then a couple games they're also hosting against the Nets, who are in first place in the East. So still some movement that could happen sort of in the standings before the playoffs. But yeah, I think that they're playing well. Giannis played, I think it was Friday, he scored 47 points and just had one of his best games that I've ever seen. And then he sat out the next night, and the Bucks still managed to eke out a win. And then, of course, you know, the big Bucks news recently was signing Drew Holiday for 4 years. Yeah. So they've got Drew and Giannis and Chris Middleton kind of locked down for the next few years, which I think has to make you feel pretty good if you're a Bucks fan.
Yeah, that's the big three there for the Bucks. And some decent role players there, too. So I think the next 3 years, they better, if they're going to win, if ever they were going to win at all, it ought to be happening in the next 3 years, you would think, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would hope so. I mean, it's, of course, it's never easy to win a championship, but I really do think that that facing stiffer competition in the East during the regular season could kind of help them, you know, as they try to go deeper into the playoffs. And I think it's kind of hard to read too much into what happened last season. Of course, you know, on paper, probably the Bucks should have beat Miami in the playoffs, although Giannis was injured during that series. But it was such a strange season playing in the bubble, which, you know, maybe not everyone is able to thrive in that environment. And the Bucks would have had home court advantage throughout the playoffs, but they didn't get that because they were playing in the bubble. So I think I'll give them, you know, the benefit of the doubt about last year, but certainly sometime over the next three seasons, you have to really hope that, you know, this seems like their window.
Somebody else was wondering, just back to the Packers again, and looking to that 2024 draft, what do you think the chances are of Green Bay hosting the NFL draft? That would be really cool if they could.
It would be very cool. I think that, you know, the calendar was a little thrown off by the pandemic, because I think the Packers were originally vying for 2022 or 2024, which would have given them a couple opportunities. But then the NFL ended up awarding 2022 to Las Vegas, who was supposed to have the draft last year, but that went virtual due to the pandemic. And so, you know, it's, I think in a way it's maybe a little bit of a tough sell, just being the smallest market in the NFL. You know, you've got to convince the league that there are enough facilities here to host that many people. But in another way, you know, I think having grown up in another part of the country, Green Bay and Lambeau Field, it's such a storied franchise and such a storied stadium. And I think, you know, fans from across the country would love to come here, and especially in the summer, and kind of see, get to see Lambeau Field and experience Green Bay. And so, yeah, hopefully that does work out. I think that they're in competition with, Detroit and Washington, D.C.? So we'll see what happens.
Well, we'll see what happens. But I really hope they get it for sure. Well, here we are, about out of time. Any final sport thought in your brain here? I was thinking about the Masters tournament.
Yeah. It's exciting. It's nice to get back on the regular calendar too with the Masters. Feels like it just happened.
I'll have a tiger in my home that is very interested in the Masters golf tournament. My cat, Tiger, is his favorite television show of the year, and he sits right in front of the TV and watches for hours.
I hope he enjoys.
He's mesmerized by the Masters. Oh, man. Megan, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll look forward to your next visit. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Megan Hart, our Wisconsin Public Radio sports reporter. Oh, man, great to have her with us. And looking ahead, great to have Scott Craven coming back. He'll be with us on, let's see, talk about wildlife in Wisconsin the first Wednesday. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow, as a matter of fact. In the meantime, stay with us. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.